Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Maharaj Parikshit cursed by a Brahmana boy, text number 1. Is that right? What we got there? Suturuvacha
Suturuvacha
Yo Vaitron Yastra Viplushto
Yo Vaitron Yastra Viplushto
Namatu Udore Mritaha
Namatu Udore Mritaha
Anugrahad Bhagavataha
Anugrahad Bhagavataha
Krishna Syad Bhuta Kalmanaha
Krishna Syad Bhuta
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sri Sutta Goswami said.
Sri Sutta Goswami said.
Yaha.
Yaha.
One who.
One who.
Vai.
Vai.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Droni Astra.
Droni Astra.
By the weapon of the son of Drona.
By the weapon of the son of Drona.
Viplushtaha.
Viplushtaha.
Burned by.
Burned by.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Matuhu.
Matuhu.
Of the mother.
Of mother.
Udare.
Udare.
In the womb.
In the womb.
Mritaha.
Mritaha.
Met his death.
Met his death.
Anugrahat.
Anugrahat.
By the mercy.
By the mercy.
Bhagavataha.
Bhagavataha.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Krishnasya.
Krishnasya.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Adbhuta Karmanaha.
Adbhuta Karmanaha.
Who acts wonderfully.
Who acts wonderfully.
Sri Sri Goswami said, due to the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Maharaj Parikshit, though struck by the weapon of the son of Drona in his mother's womb, could not be burned. Purport. The sages of Naimasharanya became struck with wonder after hearing about the wonderful administration of Maharaj Parikshit, especially in reference to his punishing the personality of Kali and making him completely unable to do any harm within the kingdom. Sutta Goswami was equally anxious to describe Maharaj Parikshit's wonderful birth and death, and this verse is stated by Sutta Goswami to increase the interest of the sages of Naimasharanya. Om Agyanatimirandasya Kinam Jana Shulakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadaha Mahiyam Tadatti Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yatri Patamaham Pande Shri So, some points here. The sages of Naimasharanya are described here by Srila Prabhupada as being struck with wonder after hearing of the pastimes of Maharaj Parikshit. Because Maharaj Parikshit is, he skillfully corralled Kali. Kali knew that his plans were to be thwarted by Maharaj Parikshit, and that if he didn't surrender, Maharaj Parikshit is such a great devotee and such a strong and powerful king and a strong leader, strong leader within society, strong leader and a devotee, which is the most important thing, actually. Most important thing is to be a devotee. Secondary is to then be good at what you do. And you may not be good at what you do. Or, put it this way, some days you'll be successful and some days you won't. Anybody notice that? Even if you're doing your duty or doing that which comes naturally to you, some days everything works and some days it doesn't. Maharaj preaches exploits in curbing the influence of Kali are very notable. They're significant because Kali is very powerful, and we know that it's Krishna's plan that as the cycles of yugas move forward, then gradually, finally Kali Yuga will come. Yet Maharaj Pritchett, being such a powerful king and personality, was able to show by his example that the influence of Kali is not all-powerful. But in order to facilitate the desires of the living entities and to facilitate the progress of time, then, Kali is to be heralded. Kali has to enter. But it is certainly wonderful. Here the word is adbhuta. Adbhuta karmanaha. Who acts wonderfully. In this grace, Krishnasya adbhuta karmanaha. Krishna who acts wonderfully. So, there's a number of very intriguing and attractive, puzzling, if you like. That's what intriguing means, puzzling. Basically, Sudha Goswami is trying to pique the interests of the sages of Naimisharanya by telling the story. And now he's going to increase their interest even further. Because, Maharaj Pariksit has... Kali has surrendered... and he's asking for a place to live. And Maharaj Pariksit says, you can live in these four places. Where there's meat eating, where there's gambling, where there's intoxication, where there's illicit connection, sexual, illicit sex, basically. And, Kali is bewildered because he's thwarted, because in Maharaj Pariksit is such a great king and a great devotee, that everybody, these activities don't exist in his domain. So he's got nowhere to go. And so he says, quite frankly, he says to you haven't given me anything. You haven't given me a place to live. So he then says, you can live where there's gold or money. Basically. But then because the citizens are, the state is managed so effectively and everybody is a devotee, then that still doesn't give Kali any room to move in Pariksit's kingdom. So how is it that Kali will... how will he enter? And that's to be revealed here in this next chapter. which is intriguing in and of itself. Maharaj Parikshit was the surviving heir to the throne of the Pandava family, and he was attacked in the womb of his mother by Drona. Droni means the son of Drona, right? That's Ashvatthama. Ashvatthama threw a Brahmastra to kill Maharaj Parikshit in the womb. But the whole purpose of the battle of Kurukshetra was to establish the saintly kings in their rightful position. You know, Prabhupada mentions that under Duryodhana, things were managed well. Right? Could have just left things as they were, because things were being properly managed. Duryodhana was a well-endowed, competent kshatriya. Right? He was a relatively speaking, a good king. But he wasn't a devotee. And Krishna wanted that the Krishna wants, actually Krishna wants anybody to be a devotee. It's just that we don't want to be devotees. But he specifically wanted the Pandavas and the line of the Pandavas to rule the kingdom. They were the rightful kings. But Ashvatthama wanted to destroy the last of the heirs to the throne, Parikshit Maharaj, and so therefore he cast his Brahmastra in order to kill Maharaj Parikshit, and that's what's being referred to here. Yo vai dronyastra viplushta na matu udure mritaha. So even though, but what happened was, the Lord protected, personally protected his devotee in the womb of his mother. Matu udare means in the womb of his mother. So he cast the weapon, viplushto, to burn up Maharaj Parikshit, but na mritaha, he couldn't kill him. Mritaha means to kill. Well, here it's translated as met his death. Mritu means death. And we're living in what is called Martya Loka, which means the place of death. Everybody has to die here. So Maharaj Parikshit got to see the Lord personally entered within the womb of his mother and protected him from the burning of the Brahmastra. And Maharaj Parikshit got the darshan of the Lord within the womb of his mother. And which is one of the reasons why he's called Parikshit, which means he's always looking. He's always looking for the Lord. Because he got the Lord's darshan even before he was born. And he wanted to see. He was always constantly looking for the... Just switch my phone off. Okay, so so this is certainly wonderful. Abhuta Karmanaha. This is this story of Maharaj Parikshit being cursed by a Brahmana boy is also wonderful because it's a little bewildering, puzzling. How is it that Maharaj Parikshit is protected by the Lord when he's within the womb of his mother, and yet when he's cursed by the Brahmana boy, he's not given any protection? Huh? Why is that?
Because you know that Bhagavatam will be spoken when you go. This is Krishna's arrangement.
Yes, this is Krishna's arrangement. But why is it that Krishna will protect Maharaj Parikshit when he's in the womb, but then when he's out of the womb, he doesn't protect him?
Helpless in the womb.
Helpless. Yeah, we're all helpless.
Not hopeless, helpless.
Helpless, yeah. Help, yeah, maybe.
Because Kali Yuga is about to come.
Because Kali Yuga is about to come. Anybody else got any ideas?
Srimad Bhagavatam will be revealed.
We already heard that. Who said that? You said that. Talking short.
Is his mother requesting Krishna to save his child?
Yeah.
Later on, Parikshit Maharaj.
Nobody requested him to protect him. Right? And so therefore he had to die. Yeah, he accepted as Krishna's arrangement. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's probably incorrect to say that the Lord didn't protect Maharaj Parikshit because he appeared in the form of a devotee. Right? He appeared in the form of Sukadev Goswami. And, you know, everybody has to die. Right? Everybody has to die. There's none of us who will not escape death. At some point in time or another, we will have to face death. And the protection for the devotees is in not protecting the material body, but protecting one's Krishna consciousness, one's devotional service. And one of the means of protection in Kali, which is why Maharaj Parikshit sets the example for all of us in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, right? 7 days means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right? He heard the whole of the Bhagavatam. So that's indicative. That's an example for us. That we should hear. And as a result of hearing the Bhagavatam, even though he was bitten by the snake bird, you know, which was, you know, ostensibly or the external reason for his disappearance, really it was Krishna's arrangement. Just as it was Krishna's arrangement to protect him in the womb from the brahmastra of the Ashwatthama, so it was also Krishna's arrangement that Maharaj Parikshit be cursed to die by the pride of Sringi, the Brahmana boy. He was cursed to be bitten by the snake bird. That was the external reason. But internally, it was Krishna's desire that Maharaj Parikshit be ultimately protected by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and thereby setting the example for all of us that we should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. You know, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that actually in the age of Kali, people will be able to gain refuge at Krishna's lotus feet by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day. Srimatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Pious deeds are performed simply by hearing the Srimad. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Punya means pious. Or in this case, more than pious. Regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidunoti Surit Satam. The devotees will gain pleasure, satisfaction, self-realization, a proper understanding of things as they are, and will be able to take shelter of Krishna, most importantly, at the time of death. So it's intriguing. Now, why is it that here's a devotee who is protected in the womb of his mother, and yet when he's cursed by a Brahmana boy, he's not apparently not protected. But he was protected. So in this way, Krishna is able to... generally, Krishna does many things with one activity. Even he himself doesn't necessarily do it. You know, Krishna is Atmarama, fully self-satisfied. He doesn't have to do anything. Natasyakaryam karanam cha vidyate, it mentions in the Svetasvatara Upanishad, that he doesn't do anything. Natasya karyam karanam. I quoted this verse the other week actually. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samas cha vyadikas cha drishyate. Parasya sakti vibhadhaya vasuyate swabhaviki jnana balakriya cha. He has nothing to do personally. Why is that? Because his potencies act for him. That's what's wonderful about Krishna. He himself doesn't have to do anything. He plays in the pleasure groves of Vrindavan with his friends, looking after the cows, sporting with the cowherd boys, teasing the cowherd girls, stealing the milk and yogurt and butter of the gopis. So basically, you know, Krishna's just having a lot of fun. Every now and again, kill a few demons for a bit of sport. Right? It's entertainment. It's entertainment. Just having fun. But there's the material world to manifest, to maintain, to destroy. So much work to be done in maintenance. The creation, maintenance and destruction of the material creation. But he, through his expansions, gets the job done simply by desiring it. That's wonderful. You know, we desire something, but it's a dream. Right? We dream, and that's all we do is dream. And nothing happens. And then even if we want to fulfill our dreams, we have to go out and work hard to get it. And even then, if you work hard, you don't always get your dreams. Right? Our pleasant dreams turn into nightmares. You may have experienced that. Huh? We dream, yes, I'll be happy, I'll enjoy. Then we go to work for it, and then we end up miserable and frustrated, bewildered. But Krishna just has to desire something and it happens. Parasya shakti vividaiva sriyate. Many potencies. This is like the material energy. Material energy is dull, inert, dead. Right? And yet we see the material energy manifesting in so many different forms with so much life. That's wonderful in and of itself. You know, when we see a dead body, nobody's attracted to it. Right? It's repulsive. Yet when the living force is present within the body, then it becomes very attractive. But without that living force, without the spirit soul being present, then nothing moves. That's amazing. How the Lord and the devotees are intrigued by these, by how the Lord acts. How he manifests, how he creates, how he maintains, how he distributes. The devotees are eager to hear about how the Lord performs all of these wonderful activities, how he acts, how he behaves. Because his activities are not like ours. They're divyam. They're imbued with transcendental spiritual potencies. And that's the symptom of a devotee, is that they like to hear about Krishna's activities. What's it? Matschita matkata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mamnicham tusyamticha ramanticha. The devotees like to hear Matschita, matkata, prana. They like to serve. They engage their... They absorb their mind in thinking about Krishna. They're one of the reasons why hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita, hearing the topics, hearing Krishna Katha is so important, because, you know, how can we know someone if we have little information about them? If we don't know... If we can't know somebody if we don't know them. And the way we know them is to hear about them. And Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, is as good as associating with Krishna. The wives of the Jagyik Brahmanas developed pure love for Krishna, yet they never met Krishna. So how do they know about Krishna? They lived outside, on the outskirts of Vrindavan, practically in Mathura. So how did they develop love for Krishna? Anybody know?
By hearing.
By hearing. Yes, I said that. But how did they hear? How did they hear?
From their friends.
From their friends.
Neighbours.
From their neighbours. Specifically, which neighbours? Huh? The gopis. They didn't live near the gopis. The flower growers, right? the market gardeners of Vrindavan, the flower growers and the fruit and vegetable sellers who would come from Vrindavan and go to Mathura to sell their wares in the market, right? Just like the market gardeners come from all over around Melbourne to the wholesale market. And then when they're at the wholesale market, they say, "Hey, ever guess what Krishna did yesterday?" Huh? So they would hear from the residents of Vrindavan, they would hear about Krishna. And it was as a result of hearing about Krishna, they developed a very strong attachment, affection for love, prema. They developed prema because of their hearing about Krishna. Amazing. So this is a symptom of, and this is a symptom shown here by the sages at Namasharanya. They are eager to hear and to inquire. You know, how? Why is it? How is it? Maharaj Parikshit is cursed to die. Yet he was protected in the womb of his mother. How is that? Why? He was protected. Because, you know, there are many examples. So, you know, the mundane, materialistic persons can't appreciate, you know, they think of the Bhagavad Gita as some myth or some like fairy tales. You know, even, it's interesting, Prabhupada starts off the Krishna book, "Once Upon a Time." Right? "Once Upon a Time." And some people, "Oh, Once Upon a Time, it's a fairy tale, you know. Like a lullaby, something that you sing to children. Can't be taken seriously." But no, the sages and the devotees, they see, because Krishna's activities are, they're special. "Janma kama cha me divyam," Prabhupada quotes, later on, 11th verse. "Janma kama cha me divyam." They appear, Krishna's activities appear, he appears manushim tamamasritaha. The fools and rascals, the mudhas, think that Krishna is just an ordinary person, having taken shelter of a human form, manushim tamamasritaha. But even though Krishna appears like an ordinary human being, he performs wonderful pastimes that are not fairy tales, which distinguish him from the ordinary and which demonstrate that he's transcendental, even as a baby. You know, ordinarily, you know, Achintya Rupa was showing me some, you know, this is what Facebook is for, showing off your new baby. So, Jamal Arjun's daughter just had a baby boy born yesterday. And the Achintya Rupa said, "Look, he looks like an old man." And I say, "Looks like his grandpa." And you know, he's just not long in the world and he's completely bewildered. You know, just, "What happened? Where am I?" Yeah, when Krishna is born and he manifests his four-armed form, right, he doesn't forget who he is. This poor little fella hasn't got a clue what's going on. Of course, everybody's saying, "Coochie, coochie, oh, he's so beautiful." And he looks like he's just been bashed up. Because basically he has been squeezed out of his mother's womb. Very painful and bewildering situation. Yeah. And then, basically, you know, we're incapable. As as babies, we're incapable of doing anything. Totally at the mercy of our parents. Yeah, you know, as a baby, Krishna's already killed Putana, killed Trinavarta, you know, he's already destroyed a number of demons. Just to demonstrate that he's, even though he appears in the form of a baby, still his potencies are not in any way diminished. He's still the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Karana Karana, the cause of all causes, the source of everyone's strength, even in the form of a baby. He's not limited, he's unlimited. So, and we see that also in the activities of his devotees. Krishna empowers his devotees to perform a variety of wonderful and extraordinary activities. They are able to cheat, in one sense, cheat death. Even though Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die, he was able to conquer death by always hearing about Krishna and always then being able to remember Krishna. And then by remembering Krishna, he was able to go back home, back to Godhead, remain with Krishna. So, you know, even the external circumstances may appear to, it may appear as if the devotee is defeated, you know, in that we have to die. But the wonderful thing is for the devotee is that certainly, yes, the body will be destroyed, but a devotee understands the body will have, it dies anyway, so what's the big deal? But the soul is eternal. And one who regularly hears and chants about Krishna's activities and the activities of the devotees, because the devotees are not different from Krishna. In fact, I was reading yesterday, really interesting, see if I can find it. One very, very... Yeah. Prabhupada actually says that to get the mercy of Krishna is not as important as getting the mercy of the devotee. Right? More important to get the mercy of the devotees than to get Krishna's mercy. Right? There's an example of the demon Mayadhanava. Mayadhanava was living in the Kandava forest, and Krishna wanted Mayadhanava killed. Right? And so therefore he set fire to the forest. But Mayadhanava escaped and he took shelter of Arjuna. He took shelter of Arjuna. And as a result of taking shelter of a devotee, then Krishna was pleased. Krishna was happy that he took shelter of Arjuna. And so therefore he didn't pursue him. Mayadhanava had extraordinary potencies. Prabhupada points out, demons have extraordinary powers and potencies, just like we have demons in this day and age, and they create all sorts of wonderful devices and gadgets, and we have technology. You know, we have a somewhat advanced society technologically. This is the nature of the demons. They have power. They have potency. But what's the problem with the demons? Prabhupada says, they are always disturbing elements of society. They're always creating disturbance. Right? We have a wonderfully technologically advanced society, but what do they do with it? What do they pursue? Even though we have a wonderfully technologically advanced society, what do they pursue?
Weapon of mass destruction.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, and then they go crazy and want to, you know, destroy everybody around them. Like North Korea at the moment. Threatening everybody. We've got a nuclear weapon. Because nobody knows whether they can actually fire it and land it on their enemies. That's why they're worried. Where's it going to go? But more basic than that, what are the demons pursuing?
Sense gratification.
Yes. In the form of what? In the form of what? Meat eating, gambling, sex, intoxication. Right? And this is normal. It's considered normal. What do you do after work on a Friday night? Go to the pub. Yeah. Go to the clubs, go to the bars. Right? Put gel in your hair. Right? Put on your best clothes. Go to the nightclub.
Casino.
The casino. Yeah, have fun at the casino. Now in Maharaj Parikshit's time, none of these activities were being performed. And now, because we live in a society which is dominated by demons, then that's what you do. It's just normal. You know, in the evening, if I've got some rounds to finish off, I go for a japa walk. And it's not uncommon to see, you know, 5 o'clock, people heading to the equivalent is the Karma Sellers. You know, there's on the corner of Park Street and Canterbury, Afera Street, there's Karma Sellers. You know, it should be Bad Karma Sellers. The bottle shop. People go to the bottle shop to get their drinks. Right? So this is the problem with the demons. They're pursuing sense gratification. And as a result of the pursuit, they don't understand that these activities are detrimental for themselves. And detrimental for others, so they're always creating a disturbance. So even though Maya Dhanava was he built the assembly hall for the Pandavas. And it was a very wonderful creation. That's where they embarrassed Duryodhana. Was it Duryodhana who was embarrassed? And there were sections of it that appeared solid, but they were actually liquid, and that which appeared liquid but was solid. So he was walking along and it looked like it was solid, but actually it was water, and he fell in the water and got wet, and everybody and the ladies laughed at him and embarrassed him. So he was very upset. So, yeah. And you're right, Mahatma. Prabhupada says here, the modern demons are the harmful material scientists who create some material wonders for disturbance in the society. Disturb everybody into thinking that they've got to have their creations. Right? Yes, I must have an iPhone, iPad, or whatever. For example, the creation of nuclear weapons has caused some panic in human society. Maya was also a materialist like that, and he knew the art of creating such wonderful things. And yet Lord Krishna wanted to kill him when he was chased both by the fire and by the will of Lord Krishna. So he was also being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra. Right? He took shelter of Arjuna, who saved him from the wrath of the fire of Lord Sri Krishna. And here's what Prabhupada says here. Devotees are therefore more merciful than the Lord. And in devotional service, the mercy of a devotee is more valuable than the mercy of the Lord. Right? The mercy. There are many examples of this, actually. The Lord protects those who are offered protection by the devotees. There's another one of the wonderful pastimes of Krishna that's illustrated in the Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit was protected by the mercy of Sukadev Goswami. Manigriva and Nalakuvera were cursed to stand as trees by Narada Muni. But Narada Muni gave them the benediction that they would be liberated by Krishna. So by the mercy of Narada Muni, Manigriva and Nalakuvera were liberated by Krishna, wanting to keep the promise of his devotee. Another example is Prahlad Maharaj. The demigods were going to kill Prahlad Maharaj in the womb of his mother. They thought, this boy is the son of, you know, the biggest demon. So even if he is only half the potency of his father, he's going to be a big demon. So we better kill him now. Huh? But Narada Muni said no. No, his mother took shelter of Narada. Narada said, no, I'll ensure that he's protected. So Prahlad Maharaj was protected by the Lord. In fact, the Lord appeared specifically in the form of the Lord Nrisimhadev, form never seen before, in order to protect Prahlad Maharaj, to keep the word of his devotee intact. Prahlad said, you know, my Lord is everywhere. He's within everything. And Nrisimhadev said, okay, if he's everywhere, let him protect you now. Is he in this pillar? And of course, Prahlad Maharaj said, yes. So then the Lord burst out of the pillar to keep the word of his devotee. So even though Maharaj preached it, it appears he's facing a very severe setback. Still, the Lord appeared in the form of Sukadev Goswami, in the form of a devotee, to reveal the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in that way, Maharaj Parikshit was actually protected. And so, everybody ultimately is protected. In a similar fashion, in the Kali Yuga, those who hear, following in the footsteps of Sukadev Goswami, not that we just hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, they have these Prabhupada says Bhagavat Saptaha, 7-day Bhagavatam recitals. That's not what the 7 days mean. The 7 days means every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashta Priyashiva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. One can remove all inauspiciousness, all obstacles to devotional service can be removed by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis. That's what Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you start again. That's what the 7 days means. Then one will understand and appreciate the transcendental nature, the transcendental qualities of Krishna and his devotees. And what happens when one understands the transcendental nature of Krishna? Chaktava deham puna janma nayati mam eti sorjuna. One doesn't take birth again in the material world. One is fully reinstated in one's original spiritual position. Or if not, once elevated to the place where Krishna is performing his pastimes in the material world for, you know, final training. You know, this is the finishing school of devotional service, is to take birth on the planet where Krishna is performing, amongst the residents of Vrindavan, amongst the associates of Krishna, whereby their association one will become perfect. But especially in the Kali Yuga, the process of devotional service entails this hearing of the Bhagavad. What is it? Sankirtan. No. No, that's not it. That's Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. That's by Kirtana Deva Krishnasya. Certainly Kirtan is required. Right? But Rupa Goswami recommends 5 principal activities for achieving success in Krishna consciousness. Association of the devotees. Sadhu Sangha. Sankirtan. The glorification of the Lord through congregation of chanting Hare Krishna. Bhagavat Shravan. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Residing in a sacred place. Mathura Vas. And Srimuti Seva, is it? Rendering service to the deity. Rendering service to the Lord. These 5 activities. So Bhagavatam, very important for us. Then if we understand Krishna at the time of death, then we don't have to take birth again in the material world. That's the transcendental. That's Krishna's promise in the Bhagavad Gita. All right, so we can finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Pretty. Hang on, I missed that last bit. Speak up, just.
So after many years of
got that.
Service,
yes.
If situations come, circumstances come, you still feel like as if your material desires are an attachment to the body and everything's part of the body is still there where it was before.
Yes.
So then, how is it going away, or is it ever going to go away?
How is it going away if we still have attachments? Well, the example that Srila Prabhupada gives of devotional service is of a fan winding down, right? After it's been, the plug has been pulled out of the socket, right? So, the measure of a devotee's advancement is basically by how much they engage in devotional service and how much they're detached from material activities. Right? Engage positively in Krishna's service, ignore or neglect our material desires, our inclinations. Right? So, long as we engage in devotional service and, you know, neglect the inclination for material activities, then those desires won't hurt us. Right? They won't. They won't. Just like Maharaj Pariksit understood, you know, the age of Kali was coming, and he knew that even though a person has material desires, if they're not acted upon, then they don't bear any fruit. They don't create any disturbance. If they're acted on, then we get trouble. So a devotee doesn't act on one's material inclinations, but he acts on inspiration or what's the word? Inspiration to serve Krishna. So we may have material desires, but if we don't act on them, and we act on our inspiration to serve Krishna, then those material desires are not going to cause us problems. They're just it's just what occupies the mind. But we don't act on them. That's one of the reasons why we take four vows. We're not going to engage in sinful activities. So long as we don't engage in sinful activities, we may have material desires, but that doesn't mean that those material desires will cause difficulties for us or problems for us. So long as we keep engaged in devotional service, right? The more we engage in devotional service, the more, Kapila Dev explains in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam how the false ego is gradually dissolved by the practice of devotional service. Right? And he's given the example, just like you digest your breakfast. You can have breakfast in a minute, right? You digest your breakfast without having to think about it. Right? We don't have to sit down and think, okay, now I'm going to digest my breakfast. Unless you're old, right? And not healthy. And you eat and you go, oh no, I'm going to have to sit down and digest my breakfast. That's unhealthy. But generally we engage in devotional service, then automatically the false ego is dissolved. What we're experiencing is just the residue. But we shouldn't act on those material desires. But imperceptibly we see, gradually, as we apply ourselves to the process of devotional service, and if we're chanting Hare Krishna without offence, and we're engaging in devotional service without offence, and we're serving the spiritual master without offence, then that engagement in devotional service will act. It will gradually dissolve our material aspirations, and what will come up in its place is our devotional service will become prominent. Right? So, but we have material bodies, and material bodies means both gross and subtle, and the subtle body is filled up with, rubbish. A lot of material association. That's why, another reason why we have to hear the Bhagavatam regularly. So that after we finish the Bhagavatam class, we go out and perform our daily activities, and we're not thinking about rubbish, we're thinking about Krishna. Right? And why we have to do it every day, because we're prone to be subject to the influence of ignorance. So, we go to bed at night, fall asleep, and then dream that we're doing this and that, and completely absorbed in a false, phantasmagoria. Then we wake up, where am I? So we have to, go to Mongolartik, chant our rounds, study the Bhagavatam again, just to remember who we are. Huh? Otherwise we're in a state of bewilderment. Of course, as we make progress, then eventually we'll be dreaming about Krishna and serving the devotees, and we might forget that we're a devotee. And these unwanted things will be removed. Nasta prayasiva bhadreshu nitya bhagavata sevaya. So regularly serving the Bhagavat, the book Bhagavat, the devotee Bhagavat, by that practice, gradually, the fan will, you know, having pulled out the plug of our bad karmas, and by engaging in devotional service in all of these variety of activities, and gradually our material desires will subside. That'll happen automatically by the grace of Krishna, by the potency of devotional service. And it's not something that we do necessarily. It's something that happens automatically as a result of the practice of devotional service. But it might take some time. That happens according to Krishna's arrangement, not necessarily by our endeavours. Not that we don't endeavour, right? But it happens by Krishna's mercy. So we just follow the process. Keep following the process. And don't be surprised what comes into your head. But then ignore it. Right? I know, you know, I listened to too much pop music when I was a kid. So I often get these, what they call, in German they call them earworms. Right? So I'm just walking around home, and then all of a sudden some thing pops into my head. Where's that come from? Some music that I listened to when I was a teenager. And we'll all have that, whatever it is. Huh? Some silly thing. We just ignore it. Otherwise, if we get the trick of Maya is we get caught up in it. Oh, there it is again. Oh, oh. And then we're a victim. Right? There's that. And of course, you know, we have our material desires and we like to bring them out and polish them off and just make sure that they're all intact. We've still got them. Ah, yes, it's me. But actually, it's not us. It's illusory. It's an illusory us. The creation of the mind. The creations of the mind is an illusory us. If it's not connected to Krishna. So that's why, you know, thinking of Krishna requires a bit of practice. Hearing about Krishna is the first step. Then, you know, instead of hearing, you know, thinking about things that we, the nonsense that we listen to as children or as teenagers, then we start to think about the process. We think about Maharaj Pariksit. We think about Krishna's plan. What is Krishna's plan? Sometimes very hard to work out what Krishna's plan is. And we think about how do we fulfill Krishna's plan? Especially when there appear to be, Maharaj Pariksit cursed to die. How's that Krishna's plan? Huh? Setbacks. Maharaj Pariksit didn't see Krishna's plan, didn't see his being cursed as a setback. We see old age, disease and death and we think, oh no, what's going to happen to me? I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I want to do something else. He didn't see it like that. He said, oh, it's Krishna's arrangement. We have to learn to see everything as Krishna's arrangement. Even apparent, a really classic example of setbacks is Vritrasura. You know the story of Vritrasura? He was given the benediction, if you like, to be killed by Lord Indra. And he knew that. And he knew that when he would be killed, he would be liberated. But he was a very powerful demon. And he, in fighting with Indra, he smashed Indra's elephant with his club. And, you know, Indra was sent running, the elephant was sent backwards by 60 yards or something. He went crunch into the elephant, broke his tusks and his teeth and everything. And pushed him backwards. And so Indra was reluctant to fight because he suffered a setback and he was attached to the result. But Vritrasura said, come on, fight. What's wrong with you? He was looking forward to being killed by Indra because he knew, I'll go back home, back to Godhead. after this fight. So we need to see beyond the initial setback and take shelter of our devotional practices so that those, you know, apparent difficulties are actually used as stepping stones to making further spiritual progress. And in some cases that means being somewhat callous to the workings of the mind. Right? The mind says, do this, do that, do the other thing. You know, when you go to the top of the Eureka Tower and look off, and the mind says, jump! Right? Does that mean you jump? Right? Mind says so many things. Do this, do that, do the other. And usually the craziest thing that you shouldn't do. Isn't it? So do we listen to it? We don't listen to it. We ignore it. That's why we have an intelligence. The intelligence says, don't jump. So that's what we, by hearing regularly we strengthen our intelligence. So that even though we've got material desires, the material desires shouldn't bewilder us if we're practicing after years of practice of devotional service, and we'll recognise that it's just the mind. And you know, the mind at the time of death, we're all relatively young, so you know we haven't experienced it yet, but the mind disturbed at the time of death is totally bewildering, very disturbing. So what did Maharaj, was it Kulasekara, he prayed, let me die now while I'm young, while I've got control of my mind. So you know we better have that's what we need to do, we need to get control of our mind. And And one of the best ways of controlling the mind is simply ignore it. Right? Ignore it. Do this, do that, do the other thing. What about this, what about that? And then like an unwelcome guest, it'll go away. You know, somebody comes and knocks on your door and you don't answer the door, they might knock 3 or 4 times. But then eventually they'll get sick and tired and they'll go away. So that's what's recommended. The mind will say, do this, do that, do that. Just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, just chant Hare Krishna. And then the mind will shut up. Of course it might come back again tomorrow. Very persistent. Right? Very persistent. So regulating lifestyle and detachment. This is what Krishna recommends. All right, let's finish here. Come to us in a bugger time for Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Maharaj Preach It Ki Jai.